Good evening, everyone. The topic of my devotion today is afflictions and resurrection power. And this is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. Let me read the passage for us. For we will not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. A few months ago, I was reflecting on a busy period of ministry and work that led me to a physically and mentally exhausting time with weeks of less than usual sleep and compounded stress. And as the busy period came to an end, questions like, was I effective? Was the hard work worth it? These questions crossed my mind. And I turned to this passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul defends the effectiveness of his ministry to the Corinthian church. And what stood out to me as I was reflecting was verses 9 and 10. And I read again, Paul says, and he reflects, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Today's devotion, I have two lessons that I see from this passage and three applications. And so the two lessons that I see in these verses can be summarized in two statements. The first, from verse 9, I see that Paul's severe afflictions led him towards a sole reliance on the dead-raising God. And the lesson, the doctrine for us, is that severe afflictions lead us to a sole reliance on the dead-raising God. The second thing I see in Paul's reflections here is that Paul's severe afflictions led him towards a present experience of God's resurrection power. And its lesson for us is similar, which is that we should learn that severe afflictions lead us to a present experience of God's resurrection power. So let's look at the first point. Paul says in verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, so that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. We read in these verses that Paul and his mission team, that's the we in these verses, went through a difficult time in Asia. It was so difficult that Paul describes it as being sentenced to death. In other words, Paul and his mission team was absolutely sure that they were going to die. We do not know what this trial consisted of, but we can infer from verse 8 that it was physically, mentally, and emotionally intense. Paul speaks of the emotional exhaustion when he says that they were pressed out of measure. I think of those videos of hydraulic presses exerting a tremendous amount of force on objects like this watermelon until they break. Additionally, Paul describes himself as being above strength, meaning that he could proceed no further. He was physically exhausted, and indeed, the emotional and physical stress was so much that he said they despaired even of life. You know, in 2 Corinthians 6, we get some hints that the trouble he speaks of consists at least of beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. And on top of all these afflictions from the outside, there was the constant care of all the churches that weighed heavily on them. Yet I think these verses, it's not so much that Paul is trying to gain sympathy votes for how difficult his life is. Rather, Paul wants us to be able to resonate with him. Perhaps not with the exact trial, but with the effects of the trials. There are indeed times when we feel like we are pressed out of measure, having to meet expectations of our bosses, our subordinates, our church leaders, our church members, having to meet our own expectations all at the same time. And just when you think you got it all figured out, you fall sick and you're beyond your physical strength. And we may not admit it, but there are times when we actually despair of life itself. And we say something like Job, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? And that's how Paul felt in those days. and yet he kindly and courageously shares these pains with us. But more importantly, he shares what he saw as the reason why God put him through these pains. He says, we had a sentence of death in ourselves, so that the purpose is that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Paul realized that he was put to his wit's end, so that he would see no value in relying on himself, so that he may say with the psalmist, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord that can raise the dead than to put confidence in men who will always die. Indeed, as Paul was put to the end of himself, he turned towards the dead-raising God. The God who opened the deadness of Sarah's womb, as said in Romans 4. The God who put flesh to a valley of dry bones, as said in Ezekiel 37. The God who raised the Shunammite's son, as said in 2 Kings 4. The God who gently called out to Jairus' daughter, Talitha Kumi, as seen in Mark 4. The God who boldly proclaimed with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, as seen in John 11. And of course, of first importance, the God who raised Jesus from the grave, and with him brings new and powerful life to all who would follow him. See, Paul found that severe afflictions create a sole reliance on the God who raises the dead. Which when you come to think about it, that's exactly what saving faith is. Saving faith is believing and relying solely on the God who raises the dead. Which leads us nicely to the next point that Paul brings out in these verses, that severe afflictions lead us to a present experience of God's resurrection power. If I were to ask you, when was the last time you experienced the resurrection power of God? You might think that you last experienced it when you read scripture passages about God raising the dead. Or you might think that you last experienced it when you first put your faith in God, and in the words of Paul, while we're dead in our sins, God quickened us together with Christ. But the truth is that just like Paul, we experience resurrection power every day. Every day when we are in the depths of severe affliction. This is what Paul affirms in verse 10. He affirms that God delivered them from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. God delivered Paul from so great a death, which implies that God worked this resurrection power in Paul. But this is not just a past deliverance, it is a present reality. Paul says that God does deliver them. Presently, God is delivering them daily from their afflictions into a new resurrection life. And that's what Paul means when he says in a later chapter, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. That is Paul experiencing a daily experience of resurrection power. See, past experience of resurrection power coupled with daily experiences of resurrection power, Paul the confidence that God will yet deliver them. In other words, you know, just like how John Newton phrased it, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. What is the application for us? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we experience resurrection power daily when we rely on the dead raising God. The resurrection power of God is chiefly seen in Jesus Christ, whom we trust. Yet we also experience daily renewal when we suffer for Christ and we trust his faithfulness to deliver us. On reflecting on these truths, I realize that it's indeed true that in the greatest trials and deepest stresses, that I actually experienced the resurrection power of God. I actually felt most alive when I was being most spent for Christ. I was most comforted when I was doing the most uncomfortable things. And I was most effective when I was most prevented. I believe that when you think back to your own experiences, you will also agree with me that it's always in the darkest moments when we rely most fully on a God that can save us and that we find him to come true for us daily. It's just like how the hymn goes, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed or the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, that is when our Father's forgiving is only begun. And then we realize that it is the Father's forgiving that really matters, not our endurance, not our strength, and especially not our hoarded resources. Paul penned his reflections in his deepest afflictions so that you may also be comforted by the same God who comforted him. And so may these words comfort us. May it be an encouragement to those who are in the bits of afflictions, in the thick of persecution, in the pits of despair, that God has delivered us from so great a death. And he does deliver us right now. And he gives grace right now. And we have hope that he will yet deliver us. And so we can take heart and we can rest in his promise. But may these words also be a challenge to us. If it's really true that it's through severe affliction that we experience the greatest power from God, then let us not run away from affliction. And this is where it gets ironic, at least for me. I know that I experience God's power and God's comfort most when I'm most weak and most uncomfortable. But yet the most part of me runs away from pain. I try to plot and scheme my life in a way that is least painful, the most comfortable. I try to avoid doing hard things. I need this challenge and the reminder that, in the words of Dane Ortlund, it is through pain and affliction that we experience God himself, the God of all comfort, who proved in Christ, who himself went through death and out the other side, that it is in the pain, not on the other side of it, that we taste God's very heart and inhale his deepest consolations. Are you too comfortable today? Are you not attempting greater things for Christ? Maybe the discomfort Christ is calling you to is to start a conversation with the Grab driver. Maybe the discomfort Christ is calling you to is to point out someone's sin and meekness. Maybe the discomfort Christ is calling you to is to give up your job for the sake of the gospel, or to give up your retirement for the sake of the mission field, or to carve out time from your group of friends to reach out to the younger people around you, or to reach out to the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Let's heed the exhortation in Hebrews 13 to go unto Christ without the camp or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us be willing to go outside, to bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And let us be reminded that when we die to our comforts and desires, when we are spent for Christ, that we'll find ourselves having an endless source of resurrection life in us. Finally, if nothing else, then let us pray for those in affliction. And that is actually how Paul closes this paragraph here. In verse 11, he exhorts the Corinthians, he also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. On first reading, I find verse 11 to seemingly deviate away from Paul's main point. If Paul is so confident in the God who delivers him, if Paul has found that sole reliance on God's resurrection power is what matters, then why does he need our prayer? Why does he need the Corinthians to pray? Why doesn't he just blaze ahead in full confidence? Why does he call the Corinthians to pray for him? And it's not so much that our prayers will change the outcome of God's deliverance. Paul is confident, and we know that God will deliver his saints. Rather, what I see here is that Paul desires the Corinthians' encouragement and mainly their participation. You helping together by prayer for us. Paul wants their help through prayer. And this is more than just an encouragement. Paul wants their participation. He wants them to be involved in his sufferings by proxy through praying for him. And this, why does he want them to be involved? It's because he's certain that when the gift of deliverance is finally bestowed on them, on the mission team, many more people will be praising God for the resurrection power of God. You see, the more people participate in the suffering, the more people participate in the thanksgiving for God's deliverance. The more people pray, the more people praise God when the prayers are answered. And Paul is confident that the prayers will be answered. God will deliver his saints, and God will work his resurrection power in his saints. So we see today that if we suffer with Christ, we'll right now experience his resurrection power. And in the future, we'll reign with him. And if we pray for and join our hearts together with those who suffer for Christ, then we'll likewise experience the joy and the comfort of God's resurrection power when we hear of how he has been good to them. So this becomes an encouragement for us today at prayer meeting, that as we pour out our hearts and our prayers for those in afflictions, for those in the mission field, for the church ministries, that we can look forward to the day that we'll see his resurrection power displayed in every one of them, to the praise and the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, we remember the words of the psalmist who affirms that you who have showed him great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Father, we want to experience your salvation daily. And if it means going through sickness and conflicts, I pray that you give us comfort. If it means doing hard things for your name's sake, I pray that you give us conviction. And if it means regularly praying for those who are in despair and in the trenches of the ministry, I pray that you give us camaraderie, that we will always help them through prayer, so that many more of us may praise you for the great things you have done, and that you are doing, and that you will do for all those who are in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.